We've been having a lively discussion, Barbara. I'm glad you've been able to join us this hour to do this. You bring a different perspective to all of this, don't you?
Well, I know Jim's work quite well, and of course I've read Ray's work, and I do. I think I bring a comprehensive perspective that includes spiritual, social, scientific, technological, and I've always felt that we are emerging as a new species. I call it a universal species.
Now, this evolution, is it being forced on us, or are we literally changing in that direction?
I think we've experienced in our generation the evolution of evolution itself from unconscious to conscious choice. For billions of years, nature has been evolving, but the entities involved have not been conscious that their own acts are affecting them, that they're rendering themselves extinct. Or, you know, these kinds of choices were not being made consciously. Now, we're so powerful that we're affecting our evolution by everything we do. Also, we've learned about cosmogenesis. We've learned we've had an evolving universe, that it's still evolving through us. I think this, probably the evolution of evolution to conscious, creative choice is the greatest event in human history since life.
And it all is meshed together, this conscious, creative choice.
It is, and it affects us at the very personal level. It affects us how many children we have, what kind of cars we drive, how we handle our own health. It affects us how we are using our powers, and it is very important as to how we use our high technology. And one of the reasons I've always loved the work of Ray Kurzweil is to actually consider the evolution of technology itself leading to radical transformation. And I think it's certainly not just superhuman intelligence. It's bioengineering, it's nanotech. And I just came back from a conference that was very exciting called The Overview Effect, about the effect of human consciousness in being in outer space and the ultimate settlement of the solar system and becoming literally an Earth space or universal species within our solar system. And I believe that that step, combined with genetic engineering, biotech, and nanotech, and hopefully evolution of our own consciousness, is what the direction of evolution could be if we choose it.
Barbara, if we're around 10,000 years from now, what do you think mankind, first of all, will look like? Are we going to look the same way we look now?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to speciate, if I can say that.
Speciate?
Yes. I think some people will stay on Earth and be tending and restoring Earth in a way like gardeners of Earth itself. I think some people will choose to move into the solar system, to settle the solar system, and that's going to affect our bodies. We don't know exactly how. And if we actually can extend our lifespan and combine our intelligence with silicon-based life, with computer intelligence, that is a new species we've never seen. And I agree with what Jim Gardner and many of the people he quotes in Biocosm and Intelligent Universe, that the phase we're in is a brief phase of biological, technological humanity, and that what's coming is so new that it will not look like the life forms we are 10,000 years from now, because I think we'll be a solar system species and we will have moved into the galaxies, but we won't move as biological carbon-based life.
You know how so many people, Barbara, picture these so-called alien grays that they talk about, the ones with the big heads and the big eyes? I mean, if humans evolve and continue to evolve, brain capacity gets bigger, could we have heads like that? Could we look like that?
I don't know, but here's something that I've noticed about evolution, that at early phases of life forms, they're awkward looking. like the first birds or the first horses
right.
or the early humans, and then they get ever more aesthetic. I mean, it's just the bodies sleek out, and you can see it in technology, too. You have the first airplane. Now you have these sleek jets that are so beautiful. It seems like there's something inherent in nature that goes for what we call aesthetics or design or balance. So I don't know what we'll look like, but if we endure, I believe it will be beautiful.
Jim Gardner, let's bring you into the conversation, and you, Ray, as well, as we chat with Barbara about this. Jim, do you see people changing much in the next 1,000 years or so?
I really do, and I think Barbara is correct that that probably we will witness a speciation event. I'm not certain. I can't be certain what those specific changes will be, but for instance, if you're going to have human beings on extended periods of space flight, you're going to have to somehow modify their bodies so that the muscle systems don't atrophy. You're going to have to, if you're going to, for instance, terraform Mars at least partially and have, a thinner atmosphere, you're going to have to figure out ways to reduce the amount of oxygen consumption that's required and perhaps the ability to withstand more ultraviolet radiation than we humans, current humans, can.
Ray, what's your take on this?
Well, I mean, quite aside from 1,000 years, I mean, if you talk about just a few decades from now, we're going to become basically non-biological because we are reverse engineering all of our biology, including our brain. And as we do that, we find that we can re-engineer it using nanotechnology to be thousands, if not millions of times more capable. For example, there's a design already of a robotic red blood cell that would, if you replaced your even a portion of your real red blood cells with these robotic respiracytes, you could do an Olympic sprint for 15 minutes without taking a breath.
My
at
God.
The bottom of your pool for
is this possible?
Yes, and we will see this within 20 years. And we'll be able to re-engineer every aspect of our bodies and brains to be far more capable. For example, our brains transmit information using chemical signaling, which travels a few hundred feet per second, which is a million times slower than computers. The computations in the internal connections are about 200 calculations per second, which is a million times slower than computers, and so on. And we're going to be introducing gradually technology into our bodies and brains, first to keep us healthy and first to improve little things like our memory. But this is going to be a slippery slope, and the technological, not machine part of our brains and bodies is going to grow exponentially, multiplying by a billion in 25 years. Our biological capability is fixed. You go out even 50 years, even people who are born biological are going to be mostly non-biological in terms of their bodies and brains. And we're going to be spending a lot of our time in virtual reality environments that'll be just as realistic as real reality. And in one of the features of virtual reality is that you can have a different body. You don't have to, look the same as you look in real reality. And so in different situations, we will take on different bodies and different forms. So in terms of what we look like, it's not going to be a fixed appearance. Even in real reality, with nanotechnology, we can change our appearance very quickly. So, and in terms of going to outer space, I don't believe we're going to be sending, squishy creatures like, our current human form. We're
going to be, like us, yeah.
We're going to be sending basically nanobots, which are microscopic in size, which will be, very intelligent, which will have software and also mechanical capabilities, and send streams and of nanobot missions, and they will sort of colonize these other.
They'll send back pictures. It'll be as if a human might have been there, but you won't need to.
Exactly.